Tony Dean, you are the host of the coolest podcast I've never heard of until about a couple of months ago when you asked me to join you on the Calling History podcast. Did my appearance as William Shakespeare get the hugest bump your podcast ever has? And feel free to lie.
As soon as your podcast went off, we had so many people listening. I quit my job. I actually I had my wife quit her job, and I called everybody in my family, and they all quit their jobs because we're going to make so much money from the number of people that listen to it now. So thank you for that, for the freedom, the financial freedom that you've given my family.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 959, William Shakespeare Speaks.
If you could have a conversation with anyone in history, what would you ask them?
Hello, General Washington. Good day, Miss Tubman.
I had to know, so I decided, let's give him a call.
Welcome to the Calling History Podcast.
409 years ago today, on April 22nd, 1616, the bard of Stratford-upon-Avon himself, William Shakespeare, spoke to my guest, Tony Dean, who hosts the Calling History podcast, where he interviews famous people from history in completely unscripted conversations. It was a blast playing Shakespeare for a two-hour phone call, and I'll share links to both of my episodes in this episode's description. So I wanted to talk to Tony again and ask him how the Calling History podcast came to be and how I came to be a part of it.
I travel quite a bit, all right? And we were in Massachusetts for the first time I'd spent any time on the East Coast. And I always wanted to go to Walden Pond. Oh, Walden Pond is just like the most beautiful place in the world. And so we're walking through Walden Pond and I'm like all lost in this like Zen mood that I get in when I'm in a place like that. And then I see the house that Henry David Thoreau built and they have a replica of it. It's this little house. It's, you know, it's like 10 by 10 or something like that. It's really small. And there's a guy sitting in it with a wicker hat. And I look at him and I'm like, that's probably a reenactor. So we walk over and I talk to him and he was waiting for some kids to show up. We had this amazing conversation. Like, I just felt like I'd gone back in time. And I was just so amazed at how real it felt because I'm like super curious about things. And so I'm asking him all these questions. I'm acting like it's real. And then some kids showed up and the mood totally changed. We talk about bubblegum and ridiculous things after that. And it was like nothing like that. So we left, right? When we left, my wife and I were walking along and we thought, wow. I mean, we do all this traveling and we show people pictures of things, but we can never tell somebody what that felt like because it was that real. And then later on that day, after we were still talking about it and we were seeing things, we saw the guy. His name's Richard Smith. He's a really great guy. Richard came over and he's like, dude, that was amazing. It's never like that. And I'm like, that's what I thought. So we had this nice conversation and that was it. And then we did nothing with it for 3 years. And the pandemic came. Well, no, this was before the pandemic when we went. But the pandemic did happen after that. So years later, I was thinking, you know, because my other business, I've done hundreds of podcasts, and I thought, wait a minute, that was such a neat experience. Why couldn't we replicate that in a podcast? And so I called Richard and I said, what do you think? Think we could do this? And he's like, sure, let's give it a try. And oh my gosh, the first podcast we did, it was nothing compared to when the later ones were because I just wasn't quite ready for it. But that's how it started. Now we've done 120 podcasts, 130 podcasts, something like that, talking to all kinds of people, just having these totally unscripted conversations. But that's where it started in that moment.
Well, and I love the unscripted nature of it. I mean, it was intimidating as a guest, I will say, but it's like the conversations I like to have on this podcast here. The conversation goes where it goes. It's lively. The only thing that would make it livelier is if we could, you know, have it in a tavern, preferably a 19th, 18th, 17th century alehouse.
Oh my gosh.
Where do you find the people? You just stumbled on this guy to play Thoreau. Where do you, so now you're seeking out people to play these historical characters for your podcast. Where do you find them?
Well, by nature, I would say that I was probably either supposed to be a drummer in a rock band or I was supposed to be a treasure hunter. It was probably supposed to be one of those two. Okay. And that's what this is for me. It's like a treasure hunt to find these people because there isn't, it's not for very many people. It's not very a popular or not a high paying profession. It's hard to make money, you know, selling history in that way as a reenactor. It's, there's a few people that do it really well, but not very many. Yeah. And so I have to search them out. I have to find them. So like one day I'm talking to this guy and he listens to all the podcasts. He loves them. And he's like, you need to talk to John Brown. Now, if you don't know who John Brown is this abolitionist that was just this absolute maniac, way over the top. But, you know, he was trying to end slavery. Well, there's no John Brown reenactors in the world. You know, it's kind of a niche kind of actor, I suppose it would be. You know, nobody's like, oh, you know, we for our big conference here at Microsoft, we got to get a John Brown reenactor to speak. You right. know, that never happens.
Right.
Well, anyhow, so, but then I thought, okay, wait a minute, maybe I can find him. So I started looking for this John Brown. And sure enough, I found this guy in Kansas and he was like so passionate about him. He has the beard and everything because John Brown's known for the, having this long beard. And then I end up talking to this guy in Kansas. And, you know, he kind of does it locally. He loves it. He bought some land that John Brown owned and, you know, he's really addicted. And so I just end up searching for the people. And sometimes I find him and sometimes I don't. Now, I will tell you that one of the hardest people for me to find was Shakespeare.
Even though he was in your logo from the jump, right?
Yes, right. That's the thing. So in the logo, we got George Washington, we got Harriet Tubman. Who's the other one? Benjamin Franklin. And then we got Shakespeare. So I'm calling all these places trying to find Shakespeare. I can't find anybody who does it. And I'd give up. And then we'd do another 20 podcasts. And I'm like, gosh, I got to get freaking Shakespeare. And then I'd give up. And then, you know, AI is really big right now. And that's how I found you. I went into ChatGPT and I'm like, okay, seriously, enough already. I can't find Shakespeare. And ChatGPT comes back and says, have you talked to this Austin guy? Like, this guy's all over the place. And I'm like, what? How did I miss this? And then, of course, I find your stuff all over the place, but I don't know why. And that's how I caught up with you. I mean, it was a treasure hunt.
That's kind of amazing and sort of the first good argument I've heard for artificial intelligence is that it got me a gig. but that's so incredible. So, like, literally, what did you find? Who's a person who can play William Shakespeare? Is that what you typed in? Do you remember?
Well, okay, so I love AI, all right? I use it constantly. Being a curious person, like, I love it. And when you learn to talk to it and you learn how to actually prompt it correctly, you need to talk to AI like you're talking to Albert Einstein. If Albert Einstein was not only a genius about his thing, but he knew everything in the world. Mm. So you go to AI and you say, look, here's the deal, okay? I've been looking for a Shakespeare and I can't find one. And here's where I've looked. This is what I've done. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that has these kind of skills. So it would have been something like that. And then boom, there you are. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it was a fascinating conversation. I mean, it was a fascinating acting challenge, I will say, because I'm not an improviser, as my wife will tell you. She's a Second City veteran and teaches improv at Northwestern and at Second City. And the kind of improv in air quotes that I do is sort of joke based and ad libbing. It's not the building of a scene or the building of a series of scenes through improvisation. So I like all of my ad libs scrupulously scripted and rehearsed. So to improvise with you was not only an acting challenge, but also a challenge to me just like, how much do I really know about William Shakespeare? And it was incredibly rewarding and fulfilling to discover that I've got a lot of knowledge at the back of my brain and and at the bottom of my pockets than I thought I did.
That is really what's so fun about this, because people like you that play a character from different times, a lot of times you have all this information that you've collected over the years and you don't get to use it because people ask you all the greatest hits all the time. They say, oh, did you really write, you know, Hamlet? And, you know, you got to answer the greatest hits. Yep. But for me, we end up going a totally different direction because it's just a conversation and it forces you to dig into your brain and go, what would Shakespeare do? You really kind of become that person instead of just reading history notes. And that's what's so fun about this. It's like you're sitting in the room talking to the person.
Hello, my name is Will Wheaton. I know, I can't believe it either. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? The spring tour of our updated version of All the Great Books Abridged continues next week with performances in Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Tony Dean, the creator and host of the Calling History podcast. What has been the most challenging person to talk to, or the most fascinating conversation that took you by surprise?
Okay, so these are two totally different questions. The hardest person to talk to was Napoleon. The guy who did Napoleon, his name is Mark Schneider. I'm pretty sure that's his last name. Yeah, Mark. But I know it's Mark, but he is just. I don't even know how, like, to explain how good he is. He is just incredible. And, like, when they need a Napoleon in France, you know, at Waterloo, okay, they're like, yeah, get Mark, all right? He's just incredible.
Well, is he French or is it American?
He's American. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah, but he speaks great French accent. You can watch him. He's got a special on Netflix. That you can watch. I mean, he is the real deal. And the people in this podcast, they're like that. They have real expertise.
Wait, why was it hard to talk to him, though?
Because the breadth of Napoleon's life is so wide.
Yeah.
And so where do you even start? You know, as I go through this, I have this routine where I study and I prep for these podcasts so that when I talk, like when we talked, you thought I probably knew about Shakespeare. Like I knew what I was doing. But that's because of this prep that I do before that takes quite a bit of time. Well, preparing for Napoleon's life, I mean, it's impossible. Mm. And there's so many interesting things that happen. I mean, there's this one time he and I were talking where I think he was in Egypt. I forget where it was. And they had just won this battle. And he had these 5,000 men, women, and children. And he's like, what should we do? And he's like, well, if we let them live, we're just going to have to fight them again. So just drowned them all. So then he just drowned them all. Now, you haven't heard that story, but I mean, I was dying to get that question in to ask that, but I barely could fit it in because that was one of a thousand things that I needed to ask were that kind of quality. Wow. So with Napoleon, it's like, you know, I got like 20% as far as I wanted to go, over 2 hours of nonstop talk. So Napoleon was challenging because his life is so big. The one that was most surprising, though, okay, was a guy named, this is an astronomer from the 1500s. His name was Tycho Brahe. Now, if you've never heard of Tycho Brahe, then we have a special group for people like you. We call that everyone, all right, because nobody's heard of Tycho Brahe unless you're an astronomer. But if you're an astronomer, by the way, have you heard of him?
I have heard of him only because I was once asked to maybe write a play about him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Tycho Brahe was this astronomer. He just went out and looked up in the sky and figured out everything was going on. He's like, oh, that's this many miles from that, and that's why that looks like that, and that's going to be there tomorrow. And then, you know, he would look at the king and go, hey, by the way, tomorrow the sun's going to disappear. He knew an eclipse was coming, like, and they'd be like, He's a wizard. We'll give him anything. So they gave him an island, right? They gave him this beautiful island, and they said, hey, we're going to build you a mansion on this island. He was Danish, I think. And so they build him this mansion, and he treats it like the Playboy mansion. He's got people flying in, royalty from all over the place. They get drunk and throw these wild parties on his private island in his mansion. And this Tycho Brahe, he had a gold nose because he got into a sword fight with one of his cousins about mathematics in his life. And his nose was cut off, so he made a gold nose. So he wore a gold nose all the time. And he had a drunk moose that lived inside the house, and the moose eventually got drunk and fell down the stairs and died, and he had a clairvoyant dwarf it's just this unbelievable story. And so that was probably the most surprising.
How did you happen to interview him? Did you go, wait, what I need to do is interview an astronomer from hundreds of years ago?
That's what I did. I went to AI and I'm like, it's got to be an astronomer with a drunk moose. And they're like, boom, Tycho Brahe.
Got you.
So I ended up looking for somebody like Galileo and that people had heard of. So then I met this guy that does Galileo. And he said, I think he calls them natural philosophers,
to call scientists.
Yeah, I never heard that term. Well, anyhow, I'm like, what other characters do you do? And he's like, oh, I do Galileo. It's fantastic. And then I do this other one. And then he said, I do this guy named Tycho Brahe. Well, after I started listening, you know, I mean, you heard the story that I told you. His whole life is like that. It's just insane. And so then next thing I know, I'm like, well, why don't we do this? We can do Galileo sometime, but let's do Tycho and see what he has to say.
So you finally bagged your Shakespeare. What? Who's your next big white whale historical figure that you want to talk to?
This is not going to sound really exciting, but the person that I'm trying really hard to find is Emerson. I can't find Emerson.
Ralph Waldo.
And yeah, and I can't find him, and I don't know why. I get close, and then you know I'll talk with somebody, and they'll say, well, you know, I do a show with him, but I have my lines, you know, I don't know if I can actually pull it off like you felt, which was not true. Your improvising is freaking awesome. But, so he's kind of hard to find. There's
all
some
right,
pirates.
That's good to know. If anybody knows of somebody who can play Ralph Waldo Emerson for a 2-hour unscripted conversation on the Calling History podcast, please reach out.
Yes.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Tony Dean's Calling History podcast, including his conversation with William Shakespeare himself, can be heard on all the podcast platforms, and you can find out more by going to his website, callinghistory.com. Then send us your favorite historical character via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to famous hysterical character Matthew Croke, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Kevin Bordy. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Wesley Crusher himself, Will Wheaton. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 959 2877ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
At the very end of your podcast, I'm telling you, the last thing that you say, I'm not going to say it, so when people listen to it, they can enjoy it. The last thing that you say when I ask you what happens if it rains in the theater, when you should see people's reaction to that, to what you said, they literally fall out of their chair. It is so, I've probably listened to it 50 times. It's so funny.
I'll have to re-listen to that myself. If memory serves, I simply told the truth. This has been a phenomenal conversation. In addition to the phenomenal conversation that we had when I was playing Shakespeare, thank you for bringing me aboard, and congrats on the Calling History podcast.
Yeah, I thank you too, man. Your work is great, and I love it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.